thankful you came tonight. Because this whole passage is about godly women. Starting in verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll finish the chapter, Lord willing, this evening. And then next Wednesday night, I get to preach to myself because it's about pastors. And then the week after that, I get to preach to the deacons. So like I say, you just never know what you're going to get. But tonight, godly women, verse 9 of chapter 2. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So tonight, godly women, Lord, give us wisdom. Guide us as we look into your wonderful word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you give us everything we need in the scriptures, even, Lord, how to behave on a daily basis. And so I pray we would learn tonight and grow through your word, and you'd be pleased with our response. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So the whole passage written to women. Don't worry, men get their turn in Titus. But to be adorned, the first part of our list tonight of being a godly woman is modesty. And of course, that is up to each woman to determine what that is. Amen. It's not up to the church or the pastor to make that determination. But why is this important? Why are the men not told the same thing? Well, because we all of our warnings in the scriptures about visual things are to the men, because that's how God made men. They're visual. Jesus, Matthew 5:28, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. He never says the same thing to women, does he? So hence the need for the modesty. Proverbs 6:25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, and so forth. So modesty, then number two, shamefacedness, kind of a long word. It basically means reverence or quietness. And if you look at 1 Peter 3:4, kind of the parallel passage. God says here, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, speaking again to godly women, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, which in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So modesty, shamefacedness, and then sobriety. It's not talking about alcohol. It's talking about being serious about the Christian life. 2 Timothy 3:6 gives us the opposite. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. I'm sorry, every time I read that verse, I chuckle. I don't know what that is. Silly women led away with divers lusts. But the opposite of sobriety would be silly, right? Not serious about the Christian life. And then verse 10 of our passage mentions godliness with good works. And that, of course, leads us to Proverbs 31:31, if you want to turn there. Proverbs 31:31. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. So modesty, shamefacedness, sobriety, godliness with good works. Then in verse 11, he makes a very interesting statement, which, yes, churches in the past have abused, have stretched. It says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. What does that mean? Does that mean that they should never give a testimony in church? Does it mean that they should never speak in any way, shape, or form? Well, God gives us the context in verse 11. The context is all about authority. Amen? Hence why Bible believers believe that women can't be pastors. Because if they are, they are now usurping authority over a man when they preach, because this is the authority. Amen? We're holding it in our hands. This, the Word of God is the God's authority. It's our final authority. So it means that women are to not preach or teach God's Word to men. They're to let the men do that. And I know that sounds, doesn't line up with modern whatever, but that's what God's Word says. Amen. There's a parallel passage in 1 Corinthians 14, if you want to turn there. In I forgot to write it down, but I think it's verse 34. Yep. Let your women keep silence in the churches. So there it is again. For it is not permitted unto them to speak. Verse 35, if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is shame for women to speak in the church. So what's the context of 1 Corinthians 14? Well, he tells us at the beginning, tongues and prophecy. Both of which are giving the word authoritatively, right? If a person spoke in tongues, they were able to break language barriers to teach and preach God's word. Prophecy, teaching, preaching God's word. So again, the context lines up there with this command that they learn in silence. And then he drives it home in verse 12 of 1 Timothy 2. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So don't ask me how modern day Christian women get around this and become pastors. I don't know. I know my aunt years ago, she's a Methodist. She said, "Oh, you crazy Baptists, you believe that women shouldn't be pastors." I said, I won't say her name, but I said, only because the Bible says what it says in 1 Timothy. And she said, "Oh, Paul wrote that." So that took the wind out of my sails. It's like, oh, if Paul wrote it, then it doesn't count. Because it's 1/4 of the New Testament. She just threw out with the bathwater. So anyway, it never tells women not to teach, though. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. So God is not saying that women shouldn't teach. She's just saying that women shouldn't teach men. That's the context. Because here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, what does he say? That the aged women, likewise, that they be in behaviors, become of holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4, that they may teach. So here women are commanded to teach, but it's the elder women are commanded to teach the younger women. So God never forbids women to teach. He just forbids them to teach men. And that's the context. Praise God for women Sunday school teachers. Amen. So they're to teach the younger women. They can teach the children. They just can't teach the men. And then God gives us some explanation as to the why in verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, we often forget that God made Adam from scratch, as you say, right? I made this cake from scratch. In other words, God just took some dust, some dirt, and made man. But when he made the woman, he made her from the man, not from the dust. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 11, God explains that this God did it this way because God is a God of order, and his order includes leadership in the home. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8, it says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. So that's what he's talking about. Woman was created from man, Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And I know modern day women hate these verses, but our Creator wrote them. Amen. And God brought Eve to Adam as a gift. It said, it's not good that man should be alone. I've made an helpmeet for him. Amen. In Genesis. So he's explaining now why it's not appropriate for women to teach men, because he says in verse 14, Adam was not deceived. A lot of people don't understand this, but when Adam partook of the fruit, he knew what he was doing. That's what God's telling us here. He wasn't deceived by the devil. Eve was deceived. Adam made a choice. Adam said, I would rather be with my wife and disobey God. 2 Corinthians 11:3 talks about this, if you want to turn there. Eve was tricked or deceived by the devil, as we know. Adam was not tricked or deceived by the devil. Adam wasn't deceived. Adam made a conscious decision to disobey God regarding the tree. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest it by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So it's not that God is punishing women. That's not the point. God's just a God of order. And there's order in everything that God does. In the home, in the church. He's laid it all out for us and made it very easy. And we'll talk more, of course, about women pastors not being the Bible when we talk about pastors next week in chapter 3. Some of the qualifications that are such, he's to be the husband of one wife. That's kind of tough for a woman to meet that one. Unless she's a lesbian, and then we got another problem, don't we? Because that's wickedness before God. So God here in defining a godly woman, modesty, shamefacedness, sobriety, godliness with good works, and that meek and quiet spirit that he talks so much about, and not bossy around men. So lastly, verse 15, notwithstanding, and how about this for an interesting verse, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. I can't tell you how many hours have been spent in Bible college lunchrooms arguing what that word saved means. Does it mean saved as in salvation, saved from hell? Or does it mean saved from being deceived, saved from deception, which is the context here? And I believe what God is saying is that she, if she will fulfill her role laid out by God in the Scriptures so clearly, that she will be protected from deception, saved from the deception that he just spent two verses talking about from Genesis. I could be wrong. I definitely wouldn't die for that doctrine. But I think he's definitely writing this to Christians, and I don't think he's saying she'll be saved from hell in childbearing, because that doesn't make any sense. But I do believe it's saying that a woman who fulfills her godly role will be protected from deception. If she what? Faith, charity, holiness. Amen? Faith, that's obvious. Charity, what does the Bible say? Look at 1 Corinthians 13. So in talking about godly women, God gives us modesty, shamefacedness, sobriety, godliness with good works, meek and quiet spirit, faith, and charity. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, and have not, so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, profiteth me nothing. We can undo it all. We don't have charity. That's what God is saying. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. John 13:35. So when we behave unlovingly, We have just undone all of it. And then, of course, holiness. God wants that from all of us. But even 1 Peter 3, if you want to turn there, we'll finish there, which is, again, the parallel passage to this one. And verse 5 this time, he says, well, remember, we read verse 4, the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. Verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection of their own husbands. He uses that word holy there as well. So what a lovely passage. Modesty, shamefacedness, sobriety, godliness with good works, meek and quiet spirit. Definitely never bossy in any way, shape, or form over men. And faith, charity, and holiness. And then a reminder that there is no such thing as a woman pastor in the Bible, because she would be usurping authority over men. So that's impossible. Because you can't get much more authoritative than teaching and preaching this. Amen? God is so good in giving us such clear instructions. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for making this so easy to understand, so clear. I pray, Lord, that it would truly work in our hearts and that it would be our desire to be godly for you. Thank you for speaking to us. We love you.